Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. I am your host, Michael Brazier, and sitting across from me is your other host, Art Nuremberg. And today we're on episode number 4, and we're talking about the topic of prayer, specifically, what is prayer? So let's get into the topic. What, at its core, what is prayer?
Okay. Prayer at its core is getting along with God, directing our hearts towards God in converse. Right? It's not at its core asking and receiving, although that's an important part. The core element of it is that a person gets along with God. We were called into fellowship with God, and when we direct our hearts towards Him, then we're involved in prayer.
So what are the basic components then? So getting alone and talking to God are key aspects. Are those the two main components of prayer? Is that what makes
it up? Where it starts.
Okay.
That's where it starts. It starts with me, again, as directing my heart to God. In fact, I think that's the hardest part of prayer. I just believe it's the toughest thing. To get my heart directed towards the God who's there. I think of it for myself because, okay, I've spent my whole life teaching. It is so easy to get down on my knees and or to get into a place where I'm supposedly praying and all I'm doing is lecturing God.
Yeah.
I'm not praying. And I'm not even thinking about God. It can happen. You start off with that and then you're just talking. You know, you're just going this. It is this, the core of prayer is slowing down my being and directing it to the God who's there and then speaking to Him. And that's, that is the essential. And how it grows from there. And there's a whole lot to prayer. There's all kinds of dimensions to prayer. There are different styles of prayer and all the rest, but it's still at its core is simply that I am addressing the God who's there, but I'm turning my heart towards Him. Mm-hmm. That's where it becomes prayer.
Yeah.
When I actually turn my heart towards the living God.
So what is it when you're addressing God, but you're not, your heart hasn't turned towards God? What is that then?
It's just talking. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, and this is, I think it's the hardest part, but I think it's interesting is that when the Lord began to teach about prayer, that's the first thing He talked about. The very first teaching that we have recorded about prayer is in the Sermon on the Mount. He said this, don't be like the hypocrites who pray to be seen of men, right? So that they are praying with their lips, okay? They're saying certain things that sound like prayer,
yeah.
But they're saying it, they're talking to people.
Yeah.
And I find that very difficult to avoid.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm teaching people all the time.
Yeah.
It's so easy for me. And particularly, it's easy for me because when I'm getting ready to teach, I talk to myself to try to think it out.
Yeah.
I do it by verbal communication there. It's the easiest thing to move where I'm supposedly talking to God, but I'm not talking to Him. I'm talking to some imaginary character out
there. Yeah.
Or when I am talking to God, I'm leading these people. And the essence of the prayer is that I get down to the place where my heart is before God and I'm just talking to Him. I'm addressing Him directly. Yeah.
How do you turn your heart towards God to address Him in prayer? What does that look like, the process?
Okay. For me, the biggest part of that, and this is, again, everybody has to face their own mental challenges on bringing that to pass. But for me, it is being quiet long enough. I have to keep my mouth shut, actually, and think on this very fact that I am now in the presence of God. And I'm going to think about that until I'm sure that that's what I'm doing. I'm addressing God. Mm-hmm. I'm not just chatting here.
Yeah.
It's the easiest thing. Say, if I'm in a struggling place, I'm in a place where there's a sudden pressure on me, and I've got this heavy weight, and I come to pray, I'm not talking to God at all. I'm just going over the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I have to stop first. So for me, it is stopping and thinking about who He is, which I then generally will follow up in my mind with then praising him for who he is. Hmm. I just believe that's the very first place to start in prayer, is always to start, well, not always, but for the most part, is to start with, who is the God that I'm recounting that? So yeah. I'm getting my mind on God and not on anything else, even the problem I came with.
Yeah.
Particularly not the problem I came with.
Yeah. So. And then, so you would say, well, is worship a good way to start prayer, or should you start it with confession? Like, do people begin to pray? Like, what? Some people, I guess, put in patterns. Like, these are like the way in which you pray. Is there a pattern to prayer? Is there a way in which you should begin to address God?
Well, yes, there's a way you should do it. Again, and I go back to, what did the Lord say to do? He gave us the pattern prayer.
Yeah.
And it starts with an orientation issue, right? Mm. It doesn't start with confession of sin. It starts with orientation. What am I going to do? Combine that with Psalm 100. Right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Right? Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, or enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. You come to God with a thanksgiving and praise. That's, I think that you just have to have that as the habit to start. It doesn't mean every prayer has to start that way.
Yeah.
But it should be the habit. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't get in that habit, you're going to have the habit, I think, just from people I've known and, you know, and talking to people, that you're going to have the habit of going and just prayer times become worry times, because you're just left with your problem. You start with your problem, you end with a problem, you never get to God.
Yeah.
You're in his presence, but you're reciting the problem. So, yeah, you come there. I don't typically think that confession of sin is the right way to start. There's a lot of people who go that route, but and keep that in balance here.
Yeah,
sure, I don't get in trouble, but I think you should keep short accounts of sin. If I know that I just did wrong,
yeah,
the time to confess that is right now, immediately. That's just spiritual hygiene. You don't let that go. You don't come back to that later. And if you're doing that, so again, Lord, I was wrong. Okay. I admit that confession of sin should go there. If that's done regularly, then the time when I come to pray, I should come with an orientation instead of confessing sin. In the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, the pattern prayer for disciples, there's six petitions, at least, could be seven, but there's six petitions. But the fifth one is confession of sin. He doesn't start there. He starts with an orientation. And what's that orientation? God is God. Right? That's where you're starting. And I am the servant of God. Your name has to be exalted. Your kingdom has to come. Your will has to be done. That's the way we pray. And the startup in prayer is to orient myself towards that. And then to pray out of that frame of mind and frame of reference. So that's what I think you should do first, is get the frame of reference. That's why I like to start a lot of, again, morning prayer with just that thought. Here it is. This is the way I have to orient for the day. No matter what the day faces or what I have to face today, this is what has to happen. God has to be glorified in it. His kingdom has to come in people's lives. His will has to be done where people are rebelling against him. That has to happen.
Yeah.
And in that orientation gets me thinking the right way with regards to prayer.
So when we pray, who are we speaking to? Who are we talking to? Are we talking to Jesus? Are we talking to the Father? Are we talking to the Godhead? Who is it?
Okay. We pray to God. Okay. That's the simple, but the God's triune God. How are we to interact with the members of the triune Godhead? Okay. The basic teaching, Lord started it, and again in the Sermon on the Mount, you pray to your Father. It is out of our relationship as the children of God, addressing their Father, that most prayers to be offered. Right? And most of the prayers of the New Testament are oriented that way. Paul's prayers almost always go that way. They're prayers. They are in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. They're associated with the Lord, but they are prayers to the Father. And even as even in Acts chapter 4, where the disciples don't address, they address the Father as the Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, you did this. They're not saying Father there, but they're still speaking to their Father who ordered all those circumstances. That's the basic pattern of the prayer, and that's what the Lord says to pray. It's out of that relationship that we're to basically pray. But we can't be too picky on that because the Lord himself kind of, puts a twist on that in the Upper Room Discourses in John chapter 14. He's speaking about prayer, and he says that he's speaking about these are one of the six promises there, that if you ask anything in my name, that's what he says, that's what I will do so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. But then he goes on and says this, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So in saying that, he makes a legitimate opening for us to then speak to the Lord about need. But it doesn't change the basic relationship. All of the Godhead is involved in prayer. We come, basic picture, as we come to the Father, escorted in by the Son, who is our right to be there, empowered as we come by the Spirit of God. So prayer is never in the New Testament directed towards the Spirit, but that doesn't, we could worship him, but as far as, he isn't involved in that direction. He is the empower of prayer. We pray in the Spirit. We pray with the energy that the Spirit of God gives us because of our relationship with the Lord.
So then is talking to God the same as prayer? My next question.
Yeah. When you're directing your heart towards the Lord, and you, whether you speak it or don't speak it, it's prayer.
What did Spurgeon say? Can we talk about that?
Yeah. There's different forms of prayer. People have different styles to prayer. Prayer is directing your heart towards God. Some people pray in very long periods of time. Some people pray in very short periods of time. Again, you've got men, the host who was the head of the China Inland Mission at the turn of the night there between 18 and 1900s. He prayed for 3 hours every morning. Martin Luther said that. He said that it took him 3 hours to get ready for the day in prayer. That's a style, right? Mm-hmm. C.H. Spurgeon said that he never prayed for more than 10 minutes in his life, except for one time, and that one time was when his son died. He said he spent the whole night in prayer. He had a son that died. But aside from that, it was never more than 10 minutes. But he said, I don't let 10 minutes go by that I don't pray. So that's what he understood, pray without ceasing. Not that you're spending hours and hours and hours in prayer, but that you just don't stop. Those are style issues. They have to do with personalities and how, that's why I believe. Because there's nothing in the Bible that tells you you have to spend this amount of time or that amount of time. Prayer. And the prayers of the Bible are fairly short. They're very concise. They're to the point. But we are to pray without ceasing. So that's the way different men you can go all over the place. And that's where a danger comes in trying to imitate the prayer life of someone else, because that's their personality. Find out what the principles are and then work those out in your personality. In who you are.
Can you feel God when you pray? Do you need to feel God when you pray? Because he's here. He's omnipresent.
Okay.
When you pray and you're addressing him, is there a feeling that comes along with that? A lot of people want to know that.
Yeah. And that's an important question. It's a really important question.
Yeah.
There is the potential. The Lord said that if we would follow him accurately, he would come and manifest himself to us. Mm-hmm. There will be times, he says, when you will know his presence. Mm-hmm. Okay. But although that's potential, it's not required. Mm-hmm. And this is a tough one to me. But again, I think something we had spoken about just a moment ago about the fact that we're personalities. And when we're dealing with God, we're dealing with a personality. Okay, we're in this room together and we're talking. Yeah. Do I feel your presence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean? You know, how could I say, I know you're there.
Yeah.
And you're listening, we're talking.
But
does that have a feeling that goes with it?
Yeah.
Now, the problem comes in the fact that when we're addressing God, we don't have a visible, you know. Okay, so then people, because they can't see a person, I know you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you were in the other room, you could leave, and I wouldn't know you'd left.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't know you were there. And am I talking to myself, or am I talking to you through the door?
Yeah.
All right? And in a sense, that's where we are with God. We don't see him, so we're talking kind of through the door. Okay. Now, he is there. This is where we go back to biblical foundation for prayer.
Yeah.
And again, this is the very first lesson that the Lord gave in prayer. He said, don't be like the hypocrites who pray to be seen of men. Go into your inner room, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And he's very careful because he doesn't use that word here. He doesn't say you'll hear your prayer. He just says he'll see what's done there. And as he sees what's done there, he will respond. So that when I pray, I count on the presence of God. I don't feel the presence of God. I count on the presence of God. If I count on the presence of God long enough, I'm going to, just like when I get ready to pray, it is just as if I'm talking to you right now. But that's because I'm counting on it, not because I feel it.
Yeah.
And your prayer is heard whether you or feel like it was heard or not heard, or let's say it was, he listened to it, to keep the biblical concept, because hearing has to do with answering.
Yeah.
But he's paying attention. He's always paying attention. So if I will honestly direct my heart towards God, he is always listening. That's what Jesus said. He is always listening. If I'm honest in my presentation and my coming to him.
Listening.
So it doesn't mean he'll hear everything. He doesn't mean he'll answer everything.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's listening, and there is a reward for it.
Yeah.
He will reward that action.
Let's talk about the answering. What does biblically, does God answer every prayer does God answer every prayer?
Well, he doesn't answer every prayer. All right.
Yeah.
Because he says that if there's condition of heart that isn't right, he won't hear us, and that means I won't do for you. So he doesn't hear every prayer.
Yeah. But if you're right with him and you come before him expressing something, does he answer that request that you?
Yeah. But the answer is yes and no.
Okay.
I'm always here.
Yeah.
You're getting tired of me here saying that. And I think that we're helped by the first intercession that's in the Bible. Okay, the first story of intercession in the Bible is the story of Abraham interceding when the angel's getting ready to go down to Sodom. Okay, the Lord's getting ready to go down to Sodom, and he's going to judge it. And Abraham is deeply concerned about Lot's situation.
Yeah.
Because Lot's down there.
Yeah.
And that's his, so he's concerned about Lot. And he intercedes for the city of Sodom. And in his intercession, basically, is if you find godly people there, will you save the city on the behalf of godly people?
Yeah.
Okay. If his prayer had been answered as he gave it, Lot dies. Because he finally ends up with 10 people. If there's 10 people down there, there aren't 10.
Yeah.
There's Lot and his wife and two daughters.
Yeah.
That's the only people that have a chance to get out. Okay. But it says in the passage that when God was about to judge Sodom, he says, and he remembered Abraham and he sent Lot out. That was not what Abraham had asked, but was what he was after. So does God answer every prayer? I think he does. If we are in a right relationship with him, he adjusts our heart. And as we cry out to him, he will answer the prayer. But he might not answer the prayer as we offered it. That's the way I see it. That we might have perceived that this is the best thing you could do here. But that prayer, even if I miss the mark 100 miles on what God wants to do in it, he still hears the cry of my heart about the situation. So yeah. I think he does, you know, he does hear.
So we actually, a few minutes left, and so we're going to transition to an important question. What is the purpose of prayer? What does it do?
It gets you with God. It orients you to your new life in God. That's, again, the whole question of why we should pray is kind of mysterious. If there's a sovereign God working everything out, we can't change his mind in one sense. On the other hand, if it's up to us, then there isn't a sovereign God. So where does prayer fit in? He asks us to come because he called us into fellowship. And he wants us to be part of what he's doing on this earth. And he is going to include us in that. And there is that absolute mystery, which nobody can sort out, that prayer changes things. But prayer does can't change that. God's sovereign purpose has to come to pass. But that sovereign purpose is worked out when men pray. And that part is really mysterious. So that, God is in control. True enough, and no matter what I do today, God's purpose will come to pass. That's biblical. But the other side, there's a psalm, and pulling a blank on the verse, but where it says this, that God was ready to judge Israel, and therefore I would have destroyed them. This is back in the time of the Exodus and when they were rebelling. Therefore I would have destroyed them had not Moses, my servant, stood in the gap and prayed. The verse is, there's no other way to say it, that their hope rested on the prayer. So Moses was pulled into the purpose of God. God didn't want them to be destroyed. And he enables Moses to intercede. And in the intercession, he gets to know God. I think the purpose of prayer is not really so much that God's purposes be fulfilled as we should become like God, that we should enter into his heart. We should know his mind. We should understand his concern for people around us.
Yeah.
So it's to make us, to bring us into that fellowship he promised. You know, we've been called into fellowship.
And through prayer, we continually change into the image of Jesus Christ. Right. And that is a big goal. So,
amen.
Interesting. This has been great. Would you like to add anything before we close on the topic of what is prayer?
I think
big?
We'll stop there.
Okay. So next week, we're also going to be talking about prayer, but from a different aspect. But until then, you can always listen to all of our previous episodes, as well as so much more on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us across all of our social channels on Facebook, Instagram, and X. And until then, may the Lord bless you, and we'll see you again next week.
Bye.